Welcome to the Midnight Society. I'm Erin.
And I'm Amanda.
And we're here to talk about ghost stories. True ghost stories. Things that have happened to us, things that we want to investigate, and things that have happened to you.
Email us your experiences at midnightsocietyae@gmail.com or leave us your firsthand story as a voicemail at 978-938-4BOO. Hello!
Hello!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Midnight Society.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Erin.
And we are here with the final installment of your Halloween Oktoberfest extravaganza.
Yes, we're here with Ghost Dumps number 2. No pun intended.
Oh, wow, that was so much better than we ever intended. Actually, that is such a dad joke, and it brings me to sort of my next point. I wanted to surprise you by collecting all of the bad dad ghost jokes that I heard all this
yes.
month. I thought it would be a nice Halloween celebration to bum everybody out with them.
Yes, bum me out now.
Awesome. Okay, what do you call a spirit chicken?
A spirit chicken? I don't know. What?
It's a poultry geist.
Ah! Heyo! Nice one.
Okay, so this next one was told to me by my personal trainer. I, like, got there after not seeing her for a while, and immediately she was like, I got a ghost joke for you. She said, what's a ghost's favorite exercise? It's the deadlift.
Hey! Goodness gracious. These are really bad.
I know. I hear you struggling to laugh, but I'm going to tell you another one anyway.
Okay.
Last one.
Okay.
Why does the ghost go to the bar?
You're already laughing at it.
I
don't know why.
It's for the booze.
Oh, of course he does. I love it.
So happy Halloween, everybody. That's what
happy
I have
Halloween.
For you.
I love it. That is your trick and your treat. Awesome. And you may be wondering why Amanda is on the phone, but Amanda is in the throes of wedding planning. She's getting married in just a couple of weeks.
I am betrothed.
Hooray! Yes, indeed. But that doesn't stop us from getting you your Halloween content and jokes and stories.
Yeah. So what stories do we have queued up right now?
So we've got a couple of stories that have a loose child theme. There's nothing more creepy than like haunted kids or like kids that are seeing weird things. Like, it's just always terrifying in movies. Like, whenever there's a movie where there's like a kid who's like creeping around being weird, it like gives me the chills.
I know. Well, you always know, especially if it's like a quiet child and maybe they're like pale and you know that they're gonna
and wearing a lot of black. Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
I don't like the child tropes, like the rest of the tropes, but the child tropes don't do it.
I am with you. But so what we've got here, we've got a story of a family who has a man that's attached to them. We'll kick it off with that. And then we have two separate accounts of a spirit who lurks around the grounds of a summer camp, which I'm excited about because it's two separate people from the same camp who have seen a similar thing.
Oh, I love that. I used to get so creeped out every time I was at sleepaway camp for no reason. But actually, it's probably R.L. Stine's fault. I think that was because I read too many Goosebumps books.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the best part of camp, in my opinion. It's probably why I'm here doing this podcast with you.
Oh, my gosh. Was this a camp that you attended?
Yeah, I went to this camp. I don't think I had any experiences at the camp, but I had definitely heard the story about this one character around the campfire. So stay tuned. It's the second and third story are about the camp. All right, everybody, have fun listening to these
yep.
creepers.
I don't know. I see a lot. Like, I have a guy that's attached to me personally and has been since I was a baby. His name is Larry. And he killed himself in our garage. House that I lived in, you know, I grew up, it was haunted. I've seen him like a million times. He's still active till this day. My son sees him. So when my son Miles was little, He was probably like two or three. I would say three. We were in my ex-husband's house, and it was just me and him that night. And he was in his own bed at the time. He didn't have a crib or anything, so he could get in and out of bed when he wanted. But I always shut the door because he couldn't get outside of the bedroom. So it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was just about to go to bed, and I heard Miles like talking to somebody, and I'm like, oh, maybe he's talking in his sleep, because I used to do that all the time. So I'm listening, and I thought he had fallen back asleep. Well, then he starts yelling. I'm like, what the hell? So I get up and I'm standing right outside the door, you know, with my ear to the door, and he's going, not now, I'm trying to sleep. And I'm like, what the hell? So
yeah,
I'm like, do I walk away? Do I go in? What do I do? And so then he starts crying. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in a second. So muster up some courage and, you know, go in there. And I'm like, hey, buddy, what's going on? And his blankets were all the way across the room, and his closet door was open. And if anybody knows me, I am a person that you do not leave a closet door open. I shut it. I have to. I absolutely have to. So I was like, what's going on? And he's crying, and he's like, tell him that to leave me alone. And I'm like, who? And he's pointing to the closet. And I'm like, who's over there? And he didn't say who it was, but he was like, he wanted to play, and I want to sleep. And I'm like, we're getting out of this bedroom. It was so creepy. So, yes, I took him out of there, and he came and put, you know, to sleep with me that night. But that creeped me out so bad. And then actually not too long ago, I'd say maybe a month ago, I was getting Miles ready for school. He's almost 10 now. And we were in the living room, and he goes, is Papa home? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, I just saw a man standing in the kitchen. I thought somebody was here. And I just started laughing, and I was like, oh, well, that was probably Larry, because he'll randomly just stand in places until you see him. You know, it's just, that's what he's always done. But for my son to see him is, like, weird, you know, because I feel like I'm the only one that ever sees him.
Well, this is Jer. And I guess I'll start with the first one. When I was a camper, middle school aged, we had our older counselors, the adults and such, would, like, regularly tell us ghost stories around the campfire at night. And we would sit there, and they'd tell us, and they'd scare us and stuff. We'd go back to the dorms, and everyone's all good and well. But when I got a little bit older and was a junior counselor, we had, you know, as they tell the stories, and we had one particular evening where one of the adult counselors kind of embellished a bit on the standard story, which was around the campfire. We knew it as the pilot. And the rough story is that a plane was coming, and the guy lost altitude or whatnot. Something broke on a plane, and it crashed into the little, you know, 1 acre lake, just randomly, of course, hit just perfectly and crashed in that lake and sank to the bottom, and his seatbelt wouldn't release. And so he drowned in the plane and died and yada, yada, yada. And then the story would go on a little bit. And then at night, you know, if you're sitting by the fire and it's just you alone or just you in a small group, you need to watch out for the pilot, because he'll come and sit by the fire next to you to warm himself up. And at that point in time, one of the adults would, you know, step out of the weeds or something like that and scare the living bejesus out of all the children. And even though you knew the story, it happened, they did it, and they scared you half to death every single time. When I was a little bit older and started working at the camp then, we would regularly, our job was to put out the fires after the kids were done. So we'd finish up for the evening, kids would be at the fire, we'd hang out. Sometimes we'd scare them with a good story, sometimes not. And we'd go back in then and go and put out the fires. We had a bunch of nights where we would put out the fire and we'd start walking away, and all of a sudden the fire would be relit. And we'd be like, oh, crap, you know, we didn't put it out. Let's go put it out. We'd get there. It'd be dark, no fire, just steam. We'd walk away again, we'd come back again, and there'd be fire. One of the nights, one of the guys, it was insistent that when we got down there, there was someone else there that he saw. And we all took it as a really good storytelling that night, and he was just messing with us. But he swore that there was someone sitting by the fire with him that we didn't see. And so that's how that story goes. I know for a fact that there's no plane, at least currently, at the bottom of that lake. There are no records to tell us one way or the other. So.
And did you, for the fire, did that happen more than once when you saw the fire first come back?
Yeah. We had one summer, I bet you it happened 5-10 times in the course of the summer, and that's when we got more water on the hill to kind of put really make sure the fire was doused. You know, when you add 5 gallons of water to a fire in a fire pit, I mean, it's out. There's nothing left but steam. But we, you know, you'd get 100, 200 yards away, you know, just kind of out of your main line of sight before you go off the hill around into the tree cover, and you'd be like, it's lit again. We didn't put it out. And you'd have to kind of like go back down, always in pairs, because none of us had the guts to go by ourselves at that point in time. And the fire was never actually relit. It just, I mean, I could swear it was lit, but we'd get there, nothing at all.
Crazy.
And I know more than one summer, but I remember like vividly one summer it happened several times over the course. And it wasn't like every Thursday night. It was like all over the place. We do it. And it was only at that one spot. It wasn't at the other fire pits or the one out in the meadow or anything like that. It was just the one on the hill. It was the only one that happened. So, I don't know.
Well, my name's Kara, and my ghost story happened at camp, which is a church camp. And I was, as a high schooler, well, I started going to camp in sixth grade. I went all the way through high school, and I also counseled in college there as well. It's like a volunteer basis. And in the summer, as a teenager, you can do what's a CIT, so a counselor in training. And I totally did that as well. But I guess I'd say in both, there's a boys' cabin and a girls' cabin. And the girls used to always be in Lakeview. And then at some point they switched to Ridgeview. And I never quite felt comfortable specifically in the back part of the cabin. Because it's like a big cabin with a big open middle common area. I never quite felt comfortable in, like, the back and then the bathrooms. I was okay usually at night, like, where, you know, the beds were. Maybe it was because there were so many people in there. You know, there's a bunch of bunks and everyone's sleeping together. So maybe that had something to do with it. But any time I got up in the night, I just felt uncomfortable, and I felt like someone was watching me. It was just weird. So this took place when I was – I think it was my last year of senior high camp, so I would have been a senior in high school. And I had CIT'd the whole summer, and all of my other friends that were CITs were at camp as well. And we were in the back part of the cabin, and we would stay up really late at night, and we'd goof around. And I was getting ready for bed, and no surprise to anyone who knows me, I was the last one to get ready. I take forever. So I was finishing up brushing my teeth, and I just, again, felt like I wasn't alone. I think to the point where I even said hello, like, is someone there? No one was there. So I go in my bed, and I'm laying there. My bed was up against a window. So my head was, like, to the window, and there's basically one big, like, street light over top of each of the cabins. And that happened to be behind me. And so the light was streaming in, and I could see, like, it went over my bed and kind of off to the side. You know, I'm laying there trying to fall asleep, and I was pretty sure everyone else was asleep. It seemed like it. No one was moving. There was no one, you know, making any racket or anything. And so as I started to doze off, I looked down at the foot of the bed, and there was someone standing there, and it looked like a man To me, I actually thought it was my friend Artie, who was camp staff at the time, because he had kind of his stature. He was, I'd say, between 5'10 and 6 foot, not super tall, and really stocky. And the figure looked like it was dressed in what we call camp gray. It's like a light heathered gray. Everyone back then that was on camp staff had staff t-shirts in that color. But what I guess I didn't think about was that he was dressed head to toe. And it's like his, from basically his shoulders up, were not really in the light. So I could just see like a silhouette. I'm laying there and I'm kind of doing that, like my eyes are half open. I'm like, this is not real. And I think I just kind of rolled over and put the covers over my head. And I didn't feel threatened by any means, but the person was just standing there with like kind of bad posture, kind of slumped forward a little bit and just standing there looking at me. So the next day I woke up and I was like, did that happen? So I looked up to my friends, Andrea and Julie, who their beds, like the foot of their bed were kind of at the foot of my bed. And one was on top bunk and one was on the bottom. And I asked Jules first, I was like, did you see anyone in the cabin last night after we all went to bed? And she was like, no. You know, I fell asleep really quickly. I was really tired. It was kind of getting towards the end of the week, and we had been staying up really late. So every night, so she was, you know, passing out really quickly. And Andrea goes, I thought I saw someone standing right there at the foot of your bed.
No way.
And I was like, so you saw that too? And she goes, yeah, I don't know what that was.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well,
so
wow.
It actually kind of started, because at camp there are all these goofy, scary stories that they tell the campers. One of them used to be about a cabin that's since unfortunately been demolished. But they called it the Crow's Nest because it was up on this tall hill. And apparently they still, the foundation is still there. And so they take kids up there to this day and they tell the story and they scare the crap out of them because that's, you know, the fun of camp.
Yes.
And then there's the one where the pilot was flying over and crashed into the lake and he'll grab you. And then there's someone, something about a prisoner or something that drowned in the lake. And, you know, so it's actually, he's been dubbed the White Man.
No way. So,
and,
so people have seen him since then?
Well, here's the deal. A few years later, I want to say it might have been 2 years later, I was counseling as an adult counselor. And the CITs had all, we had done movie night with the kids. And so we told all the CITs, since all the kids were in the lodge, we said, why don't you go and have CIT time early? Because we knew they wanted to play capture the flag.
Okay.
And so, you know, we let them do that. And they came back into the kitchen. And some of, like, the much older counselors were up in the cabin. So, you know, all of us stayed down a little bit. And one of them, I was like, "What, Dan, what's wrong?" And he just seemed really freaked out. And he said, well, we're playing capture the flag. And at camp, there's a pine forest and there's a meadow. And it's separated by the road that you drive down to camp to.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the one team's territory was in the forest and the others was the meadow. And he said he was running up towards who he thought was another CIT, Beth, because Beth had been wearing a white tank top that day because it was kind of like dusk, so it was really hard to see
mm-hmm.
at that point. And so he thought, oh, like, I'm going to get her. And then he stopped a ways away when he realized, A, the person wasn't moving, and B, it was clearly like a man, and it wasn't Beth.
Oh, my God.
And I looked at him, and I said, was he wearing, like, all camp gray? And his eyes, it was like, it was crazy. He just looked at me and he goes, how did you know that? It was like he was about to cry.
Oh, my gosh.
And then all these other people started coming forward. Oh, my God. What was his name? He ran camp for a hot second. Oh, my God. I can't think of his name, but he had been going to camp, like, since family camp, literally since he was a small child. up until he was an adult, and he was actually like the camp director for a few years. And he said, "Oh, I know what you're talking about. I've seen it too." I was like, "What do you mean?" He said when he was a CIT, they were all in the lodge, and there's something at camp called Hippo Hill. Basically, it's this man-made hill that they created. I don't even remember why. I think it has something to do with, like, there was a marsh or something. I don't know. They created this hill, and on one side there's a little playing field, and then it goes up to the lodge, and then on the other side is the beach and the lake. And on Hippo Hill, that's where they do, like, cookouts, and they have all the campfires and things like that, and it's super fun. Well, they had had a campfire and done dinner out on Hippo Hill, and from the lodge, you can look down and you can see Hippo Hill. Well, he said that all the campers, all the staff, all of the kind of camp, like, leaders for that week, it was Other Mother and Mother Nature, were doing some activity, and he and an older adult counselor noticed that the fire had started up again. And I thought, well, that's really weird. Well, we probably didn't, you know, put enough sand and water on it. So I'm like, okay, well, they walked back down, and they got about three quarters of the way across the playing field, and they realized there was someone sitting there. I'm like, oh, it must have been one of the permanent staff people. You know, they're having a fire. And they're like, hey. And there was no response, movement from this person. And they're like, hello. hi. No response. And they're like getting louder, like, hello. Like maybe they can't hear us.
Mm.
And they said that the guy just got up and just walked into the woods.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And was he also wearing, like, the
mm-hmm.
gray?
Oh, mm-hmm.
my gosh.
All right, y'all. That was your second and final ghost dump for the month of October and in the spirit of Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everybody. We hope that you've enjoyed this rapid fire set this month. And we will see you in 2020. We're gearing up for a new season, so stay tuned. More creepy stuff coming your way. We love you all.
Yep.
Thank you for all your support.
Happy
Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Thank you to all the contributors of this episode of Ghost Dumps in the Midnight Society. That concludes season one, and we will see you all in 2020. Happy Halloween. Until next year.